Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be John Jantz of Duct Tape Marketing. This episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Answer Connect, and Better. Better, offering tools to manage clients, sales orders, and job schedules, along with general day-to-day operations, and delivering a complete business management solution for small multi-location business owners. With the ability for cloud-based and mobile usage, Better allows users to access and manage business operations from anywhere and at any time using mobile or tablet devices. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com for Better. John Jantz is a marketing consultant, world-renowned speaker, and best-selling author of Duct Tape Marketing. His latest book is The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, and he joins us right now on Social Geek. Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jack.
I've been a big fan for many years, ever since Duct Tape Marketing came out, which, how long ago was that?
Well, the first edition was 2007, fall of 2007, and has been revised once. And I'm actually, as we speak, working on a significant update that I think we're actually even going to rename it to Duct Tape Marketing Reapplied.
I like that. I like that a lot. So what you're saying, marketing has changed a little bit since 2007.
Well, I say yes and no. I mean, I don't think anything that we are trying to do, our objectives have not changed. You know, have people find us, come to trust us, you know, get a solution from us. I think those objectives haven't changed, but obviously the way the buyer does that, and certainly tools, platforms, technologies, you know, have changed. But I think sometimes people get lost in focusing too much on those and not enough on what our ultimate objective is.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you go back 50 years, it probably wasn't that different. I'm sure there were some people in, you know, the 1960s and 1970s saying, you know, well, FM radio is so different than AM radio. we have to reinvent how our entire brand, because and now we look at it as it's all just radio that we don't listen to anymore. So, how long have you been working specifically with small businesses and writing for those audiences?
Well, coming up on 30 years, actually. So before we had the internet, quite frankly, as a marketing tool. So imagine that.
Yeah. Now there you've seen some changes. So let's talk a little bit about marketing for small businesses. What about the challenges now versus the challenges for small business owners when you first started?
Well, I think the really big change, you know, a lot of times, again, people focus on all the tools and technology, but really the change is this switch in sort of power, if you will. You know, the advertiser who ran the slick, you know, TV commercials or had a great Yellow Pages ad or a great, you know, newspaper ad, basically controlled the flow of information. And if somebody read that or watched that, they looked at that and said, oh, I better call that company and have their salesperson come out and tell me all about, you know, what's new in the product or whatever. You know, today the buyer goes online, does all the research, and basically says, you know what, I'm going to talk to you and you and you, and nobody else exists. and that, I think, has certainly altered how we have to get involved in the customer journey. That's why educational content has become such a huge component of marketing today. And you know, our websites, the major thing our websites used to do was, you know, put our phone number on there and talk about our products and services. And today they really have to, you know, they have to build trust or we won't get that phone call.
So let's talk a little bit about staying ahead of a competitor, because every small business owner has access to the same Google, yep, the same Facebook, the same web tools, though some may be better than others. How does a small business owner stay ahead in such a noisy world?
Well, you do have to master those three kind of primary components. You have to have a website that tells a great story. You obviously have to have lots of content to tell that story and focus on sort of the tactical elements of search engine optimization, because that's, you know, that's sort of barrier. I mean, that's sort of the you know, ante, you know, for getting in the game.
Yeah.
But the real difference maker is being able to promise to solve a problem that your ideal client has in a way that nobody else is talking about. And that's where I, you know, a lot of the businesses we work with, all they're talking about is we do this, we've been doing this forever. You know, this is what our products are. And a lot of times the buyer still doesn't connect the problem they're having with the solution you're providing. So, you know, offering a solution without first identifying, communicating, articulating, you know, completely developing, here is the problem, that here is the pain and the problem you are suffering, but don't, never fear, because we promise to solve that. That's step number one. And that's how you make the competition irrelevant, you know, regardless, whichever one of those words. Regardless of, you know, all of the tactical things. If you don't get that strategy right, you're kind of swinging into the wind.
So is that still sort of the first thing you do with the small business, is say, you've got to get your website right. This thing hasn't been updated since 2002 and it looks terrible and there's no story here.
Yeah. I mean, 99% of the time, that is a prescription that we are going to give. But before we do that, you know, let's figure out who really makes an ideal client for you, because it's probably not everybody you're doing business with today. Let's narrow that focus and then let's tell the story again. I keep going back to this problem, but I think, you know, people don't want what we sell half the time. They want their problem solved. And so identifying, you know, the problem we do truly solve. And I'll give you an example. You know, we have a tree service. We work with a lot of what I call real small businesses. I have a tree service that's a client, and you know, we read their reviews, we interviewed their clients, and we kept hearing over and over again, well, yeah, they cut the tree down. You know, they got saws and trucks. We figured they could do that. But what they really do is they show up when they say they're going to, and they clean up the job site. And that's the problem that many homeowners want solved. They assume anybody who says tree service on their truck can cut the tree down.
Yeah.
But the experience they're going to have getting that tree cut down is the difference maker.
So you're really going way beyond your typical marketing approach when you're working with a small business. A lot of times it feels like you're getting into changing their focus. So
totally.
You know, they're getting out of the, you know, just let's make sure everybody can find our tree business, to getting into, here's something else that you should provide a client. In this case, it's cleaning up the job site after the tree is down, or whatever's going to make that difference.
Not just doing it, but communicating that you do it, because that's the big issue. A lot of companies do it because they just think that's how work should be done. But it's communicating that that's a part of your process is what makes the difference.
It seems like a lot of small business owners have a gold mine of stuff that they do that they're not telling anybody about.
So
how do you go into a small business and find those diamonds?
Well, we have two processes that I have used for years. One has been increasingly over the last few years more valuable, but we have always interviewed their clients. I used to ask the business owner, what do you do that is unique? Well, we provide good service.
I love good service.
Exactly.
Customer service, yeah.
And then we start talking
to business. We have terrible customer service.
Exactly. And so then we start talking to their clients, and we start hearing those things like, they show up when they say they're going to, they return our phone calls, their people are nice. And then we look at their reviews. And when somebody voluntarily goes to Google or Yelp or something and raves about a company, 9 times out of 10, they're going to talk about the little thing that, you know, you didn't let my dog out, when you came and worked, on my yard. And that's the stuff that they don't realize is the gold.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit more about the year 2020. I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around that.
The new decade.
Yeah. And mostly I'm trying to get my head wrapped around the fact that Y2K was over 20 years ago. So that's still just, I can't let go.
I still have my bomb shelter.
Let's take a little sidestep here. What were you doing the night of December 31st, 1999, when, you know, everything we were doing could have just blown up?
Yeah, I remember distinctly. I was at a party that my kids were in school, grade school still, and the grade school hosted a party for anybody who wanted to come and bring their kids and stay up late. And, you know, it was New Year's Eve, of course. And I still own the pajamas that I wore to the party. They had champagne bottles on them. I don't know why, but I remember that New Year's probably better than any that I've ever remembered.
I remember being at a party, and we were all so worried that our servers were all going to go down for this this media company I was working for at the time. And so I had a pager, and we were just constantly checking the pager all throughout the night. And then when midnight hit on the East Coast, because that's where all the servers were, when midnight hit on the East Coast, and I was still getting, you know, everything is fine, text pages coming through, it was like, okay, this is going to be fine. So there you go. There's our Y2K moment for the
for you youngsters.
Yeah, for all of you people who are like, now what's Y2K? That's a channel on Sirius XM, right? So for 2020, you've got a new book that just rolled out a couple of months ago called The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, and it's got a very unique structure. Tell me about that.
Well, so this is my sixth book, and my five previous books were all about how to do some aspect of marketing. And so I of late, I can't say I've become disillusioned, but we have so much how-to content out there. I mean, if you want to replace a part on a 60-year-old car, you know, you can find a YouTube video that'll show you exactly how to do it.
Yeah, all the how-to car. Right.
Yeah, all the how-to info is out there, but where I see a lot of entrepreneurs struggling is more the why to, the mindset behind, you know, what they're doing and the toll that it takes and how they have to prepare to, you know, so that this thing that's supposed to bring us joy and happiness actually does. And so The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur is a daily kind of meditation guide. So in other words, you get every single day, today's January 14th, we're recording this. You turn to January 14th and you're going to get some wisdom from some mid-19th century literature. So we're talking about Thoreau and Emerson and Margaret Fuller, some of the best and probably first kind of entrepreneurial writing that has stood the test of time. Then about 150 words of me, maybe contextualizing it through my experiences, three decades of an entrepreneur. And then you get a challenge question every day. So it is a very different kind of book. It's the book that... You know, I've got a stack of books in my to-read pile on the corner of my desk. I know we all do.
Yeah.
This is a book is more of a practice. It takes you 2 minutes to read. You know, you put it by your bedside. You know, I get up and I actually meditate and journal every day. I have for years. This fits squarely into that practice because it gives me a prompt every day to journal on. And you know, selfishly, I wrote the book, you know, because it's the book I wanted, because there are some of these daily format books out there. Daily Stoic, Daily Drucker is another one that I read. But there aren't any, or I hadn't seen any that were focused exclusively on entrepreneurs. And that's, you know, who I've worked with for the last, 30-ish years. And so I wanted to write, it's kind of a David Meerman Scott, friend of mine, who is also an author, said it called it a love letter to entrepreneurs. And in a lot of ways, that's how I feel about it.
Oh, I love that. And that's a huge part of our audience here on Social Geeks. So I urge everybody to check this out. So tell me about the passages or the quotes from, like for today, you had Henry David Thoreau. Are they long passages? Are they?
No, you know, the best thing we could do, Jack, is why don't I read today's entry? And it'll take it might take 90 seconds. This is a short one.
Let's hear it.
So January 14th, when we're recording this, every day has a title and then a reading, my words, and then your challenge question. So January 14th, take the plunge. You can't sit on the bank and think about it. You have to plunge. That's the way I've always done, and it's the right way for people like you and me. There's nothing so dangerous as sitting still. You've only got one life, one youth, and you can let it slip through your fingers if you want to. Nothing easier. Most people do that. That's from Willa Cather's The Bohemian Girl, written in 1912. Few things are easier than not acting on a heartfelt desire. And the tricky part is that there are so many ways to escape into busyness that you can actually start to feel excited about doing nothing special. All the while, you begin to shrink. And it's understandable because you're not smart enough yet. You don't have enough experience yet. You don't you haven't made the right connections yet. That's what you might tell yourself as a way to keep sitting still. All the while, life is slipping through your fingers. Nothing easier. Don't think. Take the plunge. You'll have plenty of time to be afraid another day, just not today. Your challenge question?
That's excellent. And now you have questions.
And now you end every day with a question.
Okay, hit me with the questions.
What's one bold action you could take today that would propel you towards your dreams?
Wow. And just one question a day then?
One question a day. It's a prompt. And a lot of people have told me that they use that to then journal from, you know, their thoughts. Because it's funny. You know, a lot of times, you know, you'll get a question like that and you're like, I'm going to think about that. Mm-hmm. And the hope is, I mean, maybe you have the answer and you go, I'm going to do this. But the hope is that it just kind of plants itself in the back of your mind. And as you go through the day, I almost can guarantee on that day, you're going to be presented with the opportunity to take a bold action. And hopefully that little prompt goes, oh, this is what John was talking about. I'm going to do it. And so how I think I refer to this book as a practice as much as a book.
And it's very tactical when you talk about taking a bold action, because it's not, you know, I'm going to go out and be terrific today. You know, it's not something general like that, but it's like, no, today's the day I'm going to tell so-and-so such and such, or today's the day I'm going to, you know, sign that agreement for, you know, whatever. I like that tactical nature of it. I'll tell you what else I like is, we're going to get some new ideas from some very old leaders and writers, right? So you know, the fact that you're bringing in literary figures and something from 100, 200 years ago, that's very cool, because nothing against Gary Vaynerchuk, but maybe we all could use some new quotes and maybe some new ideas instead of the same, you know, posts we've been seeing on social media for the past 3 straight years. So,
and I think there's a reason. I mean, you look at Pinterest and Instagram quotes, and you're going to find Emerson and Thoreau in those. And I think there's a reason that literature has stood the test of time. If you think about what was going on in America in mid 19th century, we were on the cusp of the Civil War. Women were marching in the streets to get the right to vote. We were trying to abolish this you know, horrible practice of slavery. And so it was the first time that writers were kind of overtly saying, hey, we need to stop listening to our parents and our teachers and our politicians. We need to start following our heart and doing what we know is right, you know, in our heart. And I think that's why the writing is so relevant to entrepreneurs and maybe to the fact that we kind of find ourselves in sort of that same sort of upheaval as a culture and society today.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a time of great change. And it seems to me when there is a great time of change, you know, everybody talks about how terrible 2019 is and how terrible 2020 is going to be and where the world's going. And it's like, I could just imagine Abraham Lincoln saying, let me tell you about 1860 to 1865, or, you know, or other people saying, really, let's talk about 1968, and 1969.
Exactly. I think
things were maybe not so great then for a lot of people. So
yeah. And there's plenty of researchers and historians that kind of plot this like recycling of patterns, you know, every fourth generation and that kind of thing. And I think that's clearly going on.
And where that kind of, to bring it back to entrepreneurship, think about the innovations that happened in, you know, let's say the last 3 decades of the 1800s, or, you know, in you know, the 1970s and 80s that all came out of that time of change, and all of these great writers showing people some new ways to think about problems. So I love that connection with that time period and what we're doing now. So the Self-Reliant Entrepreneur has been out for a few months now, and it's very focused on the year 2020 and really kind of one entry per day, right?
That's right. And of course, the beauty is it's not just 2020. I mean, I guarantee you with January 1st, 2021, you're going to be a different human being than you are right now.
Yeah. Well, and if you're not, maybe you're doing something wrong right now, if you go a year without any growth. So you were mentioning earlier a group on Facebook, was it, where people are sharing?
Yeah, so this is an interesting book because theoretically everybody's on the same page the same day. And so it does kind of lend itself to some discussion around, you know, how that question or how that reading, you know, impacted you that day. So there's a group, if you just search on Facebook, it's called Daily Self-Reliance. You can, you know, ask to join that group, and I will gladly let you in and ask you to behave and discuss like adults the you know, the questions and how they apply to you as in your entrepreneurial journey. And frankly, you know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, I'm not an entrepreneur in the truest sense, but you know, I feel like my life is a work in progress, and this book helps me work on, you know, my life and you know, maybe helps me kind of think about what I do for a living in a more entrepreneurial way. So all are welcome.
That's excellent. So what's the name of the group again, so we can find it easily on Facebook?
Daily Self-Reliance.
Excellent. And we will be right back with some more contact information in just a moment. First, today's show is brought to you by Answer Connect. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, and appointments scheduled. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. John Jantz, thanks so much for joining me today. If people want to learn a little bit more about your latest book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, where can they find that, and where can they find out about your work and your agency work?
You bet. So just selfreliententrepreneur.com is where you'll find a lot about the book, including interviews like this. For the last couple decades, I've been hanging out at ducttapemarketing.com. That's D-U-C-T-T-A-P-E marketing.com. And really invite you to check out the resources there. And you know, we already talked about the Facebook group, Daily Self-Reliance, if you want to connect there.
Excellent. We will have links to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com. John, thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to chatting again down the road.
Hey, thank you so much.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.